Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, good morning. And thank you, Isaiah, as you do each and every time we come on these airways here on Home-Based Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio, introducing our show to our listening audience and to the 47,000-plus people who have listened to a show here on Home-Based Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio. We'd like to say thank you, thank you, thank you. This is truly listener-supported radio, and we would not be able to do what we do without your support. So we thank you for tuning in and helping us be able to stay on these airways. We've been on here since November of 2007. And I want to thank my grandson again, who wanted to be able to introduce this show when we first started. And, you know, it's been his voice has been on this as the introduction for this show, Home-Based Business 101. You know, on Sunday mornings, I do a special show, and title of my Sunday morning show is called The Gospel of Working from Home. And today's topic in The Gospel of Working from Home is something called slavery in America. Now, I'm not talking about slavery as we know about slavery from the past. I'm talking about modern-day slavery. But even with modern-day slavery, it reminds me of a song by Taj Mahal called Slave Driver, Catch a Fire, You're Going to Get Burned. And the lyrics go something like this. Every time I hear the crack of the whip, my blood run cold. It reminds me on the slave ship how they brutalized my very soul. Today they say that we are free, only to be held here in captivity. Slave driver, you're going to get burned. Catch a fire, the table will turn. And the table will turn, and the table can turn for people that want to get out of modern-day slavery. And what is modern-day slavery? In the United States of America lies large industrial cities, besides one of the nation's largest slave labor camps. Near the center are community settlements where the slaves live. Each morning, people move herd-style from their slave quarters into industrial camps. Each one is at his station, usually around about 7 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever time they have to report there. They report to their master or their boss, and boss, you know, double S-O-B, figure that one out. But they report to their boss for their daily duties. Here at these stations, they remain chained until the time of service is over, usually 5 p.m., sometimes 6 p.m., so some people don't get off work till 7 p.m. or 8, and even now they have all these different shifts where you have some people work third shift, second shift, you know, taking up lots of their time. They have no choices as to how many hours they must labor. Sometimes they're required to work overtime until the master or the boss tells them they may leave. Remember that boss, remember that word boss, that's, look at it backwards, double S-O-B. You know, and so, you know, they work mandatory overtime. I know a person here in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, that works for a place called QVC. They have mandatory overtime. They work 60 hours a week. And usually when I call them to try to share some different things with them about some other things, they're too tired to do anything else because they have worked them to the point that all they want to do is go home, eat, and go to sleep. And each year, people are told to take vacations for how long and when they must return. Talked to a person yesterday, talked about how when people get, some of these places they give you vacation, but on the vacation, they don't give you no pay, which means that you're off for a week, and when you come back to work, you got a whole nother week to work before to make up for the week you lost of no pay. So, I mean, you know, and this might not be you, but you might know people in this situation, and we're going to talk about some solutions when I finish going through this. So I'm not condemning everybody that's on one of these type jobs. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just painting the picture, the scenario, and what do we want to do to break the chains of slavery, modern-day slavery. They have little choices to how much money they can make, and they allow time for lunch and coffee breaks during their slave hours, during their slave laboring hours. They remain in their caves when they're not at work and drink beer because the master can punish them with the layoff whip. It is said that even some good, faithful slaves felt this whip. So what do people do like today on Sunday? America, what? It's football Sunday. And what people going to do? They got, you see the commercials, Budweiser, this Bud is for you, Corona, and everything else. People going to sit home today. Not everybody, but a lot of guys are going to sit home today, talk about their team, like they own the team. They don't own the team. You know, you support the team. You like the team. And so it's like with this modern-day slavery, people get to sit home on Sundays and also yesterday, Saturday, watch the college teams play, watch the gladiators. It's like watching the gladiators during the Roman days. Except that they're not feeding them to the lions, but the guys out here, they're running up and down the field chasing the football. And, you know, it's an interesting game. But it's also a very, you know, deadly game because of with the concussions and all the stuff that is happening to players. And I never forget one time when one of the talk show hosts, radio football host Terry Bradshaw was on one Sunday, and he mentioned to Howie Long and Jimmy Johnson, he says, I hope to be with y'all next year. And he said, what you talking about? You going to switch to another network? He says, no, I don't. He says, I hit that magic age. Don't you know the average age of a football player is like about 50-some years? I think it was like 55 or 56. Because of the wear and tear on their body, they usually don't live beyond that. So they pay them a lot of money, you know, to entertain us. And so people, they on the weekend, it's like stay in your cave and be entertained, and drink all the beer that you can drink while you watch people run up and down on the field and you cheer for them and the money that they make. I know these slave labor camps exist, for I'm a free man among them, and I'm in business for myself. I am truly free. I rise in the morning at the time called for by the schedule of my day. I decide my own hours. I can even cut my own grass during slave laboring hours. I can vacation when and how long I please. I'm free to take my coffee breaks and my lunch time at my own choosing. And, of course, I decide my own paycheck. Because I'm not a slave, I can choose to work when and where I please and with whom I please. I'm free to stay in a city as long as I please, or I may choose to leave and do business elsewhere. I've seen many slaves sadly pack their belongings, forced to leave one city and move to another city in search of the new master or new boss. Remember that word boss, double S-O-B, spelled backwards, double S-O-B. When their master decides to beat them down with the layoff whip, so, you know, people are afraid to get laid off, you know, so that's why, you know, ladies tell me, and I said, well, you know, what if you don't work the overtime? She said, no, there ain't no what if I don't work the overtime. She said, I need my job. See, so they tell people quick, and their times are so hard and tight out here now, they tell people quick, either you do it, or we got a line outside the door waiting to replace you. So people, you know, people are scared into these positions. Children are sad because, you know, when the family has to move, the children have to change schools, make new friends. The wife's reluctant to leave friends and relatives, but because they are slaves, they must serve where their master or their boss will tell them. And again, remember that word boss, double S-O-B, spelled backwards. But there is a ray of hope. Every slave is entitled to buy his freedom, too high yet. It seems high to those who never have the courage to pay it. One must be willing to become his own master. Are you willing to pay the price for your freedom? Malcolm X used to say the price of freedom is death. He didn't mean physical death in terms of you dying, but death to the things that are holding you in bondage. What's holding people in bondage? Job, just over broke, you know, and there's a way out. But people are scared. They're afraid to take that step, you know, step of faith, step out there and break the bondage that slavery has on them, this modern-day slavery. Excuse me. The answer is, that's the title of the show, Home-Based Business 101. The answer is owning your own business. And as I said in here, it's not, you know, the cost of freedom, it's not as high as people think. Some people think, well, you know, I could never do that. You know, I don't have the time. Right now you don't have the time because the master's controlling your time, your boss. That again, that double SOB is holding you back from having time for your own freedom. But at some point, you're going to have to either strike out to be able to obtain your freedom or just live this type of lifestyle day to day. They retire you. And when they retire you, see, they send you to this retirement camp where in the retirement camp, you're waiting for hopefully a pension check that'll help you be able to live off of, see. And you pray that it'll be enough to keep you going. I mean, I know people nowadays who are retired from jobs and where are they at? The Walmart greeter, working McDonald's part-time, or Burger King, or Hardee's, these fast food places, which was really designed, McDonald's was designed for teenagers to work in. That's what how McDonald's was designed, for teenagers to work there with maybe one or two adult managers. But today, who do we see? Who's the workforce there? And it's because of the things that have gone on in the economy and the control mechanisms that are used to keep people fearful. Yet, you do have people that are some people who make what they call quote-unquote good money. I mean, people making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year. But did you know that less than 10% of people in America make over $50,000 a year? 90% of people in America make under $50,000 a year. And out of that 10% that make over $50,000 a year, the vast majority that make more than that are home-based business owners. But job-wise, you know, it's not that many people that's making that kind of money. We know a few. I mean, and there's certain regions of the country, there's influx of that population in terms of some of those jobs that still exist, people making that kind of money. But for the mass majority of people, you know, if they can make 30, they feel they're doing good because they just don't know. I mean, here in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, you make over $30,000 a year, you like, you know, hey, you consider almost, you know, compared to the people, the everyday people, you consider like wealthy because it's that tight out here. It's that rough. But there is a way out. See, because off of those people that make 50 and above, they like to take vacations and travel. They do a lot of shopping online. And they know other people that's in their socioeconomic group that does the same thing. And so for less than $20 a month, $350, you could own yourself a home-based travel business, which you could also leverage against your job for those who are blessed enough to have a slave job that allows you to at least pay bills so you can take care of your cave and buy you some food and some clothes and your toys and stuff for your children for Christmas. So that for less than, like I said, $20 a month, $350 a year, for one-time $350 fee, you could own your own home-based travel business, which would allow you additional tax write-offs that would help you with, like I said, leverage against that job for those that have one and get an extra tax return that you could use for your business or whatever else you want to use it for. But you got to be willing enough to investigate and step out there. There are a lot of different home-based business opportunities. And though I promote the particular one that I'm involved with, I suggest to anybody, find a home-based business, something that you love and something that you enjoy. Start part-time. Work it part-time until you can replace the income you're getting from the slave labor camp. And then once you can replace that income, break the chains and tell them, bye, I'm gone. You know, and it's so important to do that. I mean, you know, me and my wife, we pray for freedom. And, you know, we've been working our business, and we pray for freedom, and God blessed us with freedom. It's not always easy. you know, sometimes, you know, you have ups and downs in terms of business. And a lot of times, sometimes you have ups and downs. Sometimes you wish you could go back to slavery where you'd have a quote-unquote guaranteed paycheck, but you won't have freedom. So you have to make up your mind what you want. Freedom is more valuable than slaving for somebody just so you can have some money to pay some bills. And why do we have bills? You know, it's a vicious cycle, the system, the way this whole thing is set up. I mean, you know, and it's set up by design that, you know, keep people frustrated. But for those that want to eliminate the frustration, all you got to do, you know, routine, is pick up that phone and dial 252-406-0774 and just say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I want to do something about being sick and tired. You know, I mean, you at some point you have to make a decision. For those that want freedom, Frederick Douglass said you must strike the first blow. So, hey, you know, freedom is a very important thing to have in life, you know, freedom. You know, it's like yesterday we was able to, at a festival, share opportunity with people, enjoy the day, work, you know, time we wanted to work, come in, had a great time. Didn't have to ask somebody could we take off from work to do it because this is our work. And, you know, I just like to be able to see more people have freedom because I see the frustration in people and the crazy things that people do because they're frustrated where if they have freedom and learn how to manage their time and manage their freedom, how much more fun life would be and how much more they could enjoy life. So if you want some options, whether it's the particular business that I'm involved in, or if you just like some ideas, you know, to also coach people on how to start a business based on, you know, I do an interview and I ask them, tell them about things that they like, things that they enjoy, and, you know, help them find a way to be able to do that where it becomes profitable for them, because there's a whole lot of different opportunities out here. Yes, I have one in particular that I, you know, advocate for, but it's not the only opportunity. But it is a very lucrative opportunity, and it's a very, very. I'm involved with a company that just has been blessed beyond favor. And I know a lot of times people they say that, but I mean, you know, because everyone wants to feel that everything that they are involved in. This tremendously blessed, but God's hand has definitely been on this company, and I believe that's because of the character integrity of the founder, Coach J. Lloyd Toma, who has a saying, if it ain't right, don't do it, and if it ain't so, don't say it. And see, that's a great motto, because a lot of times, too often, I've even seen people that go in business for themselves, and they bring the bad habits from the workplace, do whatever I need to do to get over. You know, Coach says, if it ain't right, don't do it. If it ain't so, don't say it. That when you do start your business, that you have integrity. Integrity will carry you a long way. You know, a lot of you know that listen to the show, but I also help people with their taxes, which requires a lot of integrity because people give me their Social Security numbers, their bank account numbers, where they have their tax return go to. And, you know, that kind of information in an unscrupulous person's hands could be very deadly to someone. So it's important that people have integrity in what they do and that people trust you. And you earn people's trust. I've earned people's trust over the years that, you know, I'm able to do what I do for people. I mean, from million-dollar clients that I have, clients that earn over $100,000, $200,000 a year, to the everyday person making $30,000 to $40,000 a year, to people that's making over $50,000 a year. So I handle business for a lot of people from very socioeconomic backgrounds. And so it's important that I have a tremendous amount of integrity to, and have earned their trust. What does that have to do with you? I'm just giving you some key factors and points that, you know, if you're a person that doesn't have any integrity, then, you know, you definitely, you need to stay on the slave labor camp. Let them keep cracking that whip on you. Because, you know, it's important that business number one business rule is that people need to know that they can trust you. Now, again, if you're interested in help with developing a business, or if you're interested in taking a look at the opportunity that I'm involved in, it might be for you, it might not be for you. I ain't going to say that it is. No one glove fits all. But if you are interested, just give us a call at 252-406-0774, and we will help you find a way to get off that slave labor camp. Remember, your decisions determine your lifestyle. So what decision you make or don't make is going to determine, you know, what your outcome is going to be. Now, I have people that tell me, I love my job. See, my job ain't like what you be describing. That might be true for some of you. But I know people that make, you know, that make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year, but they don't have any time freedom. They can't, you know, if their child has a recital, they can't go. They have to work. And if they don't show up, they lose that position. You know, the company tells them, you know, hey, you know, we got a client for you to see. You know, so, well, you know, my daughter, you know, her recital is coming up, or her recital is on that day, you know, and she's 7 years old. You know, she'll only be seven once. See, that's the thing about children, you know, is that, you know, once they grown, them days of little things that they were involved in that you missed out on because the job said you couldn't take off or you couldn't go, then, you know, hey, you just, you know, you can't recapture time. See, one of the things you cannot replace is time. Yeah, there's times that I wish I was 17 again and playing tennis in high school, especially since the way I play now and know how to play. You know, I took it a little more serious. You know, I would have done a whole lot different with it. You know, I mean, I definitely know that if I had knowing what I know now, I know I would have played professional tennis. I was that good that I could have did it. All I had to do was turn it up a notch. But I can't go back and change time. Can't get in a time machine. You know, as much as they make these movies about time machines, can't get in a time machine and go back. You can't get in a time machine and go back and change time. So, you know, the other thing about having your own business, just the freedom to be able to do things for your family when you want to do them, not when the job lets you do them. It reminds me of the story of our CEO, Scott Toma, Coach Toma's son. And Scott said one time when his daughter was in elementary school, the school had was called Parent Reading Day. And so he showed up for Parent Reading Day. And the day where the parents get to come to the classroom and read with their children. And when he showed up, the teacher wanted to know, well, Mr. Toma, what are you doing here? He says, Parent Reading Day, right? She said, yeah. She says, well, why are you here? He says, well, I came because it's Parent Reading Day, and I came because I want to sit here and I want to read with my daughter. That's what it says there on this flyer. The teacher looked at her, she says, you know what? She says, you're right. She says, but she says, in all of my 20-some years of teaching, I've never had a child's father show up for any type of event like this. It's usually the mother who maybe doesn't work because the fathers can't get off from their jobs. See, but because he was self-employed, business owner, he was able to choose and pick his time to do what he wanted to do. And see, that's one of the most precious things I can tell you about freedom and time freedom, doing what you want when you want. See, if you don't, I sleep till I'm ready to get up. You know, I plan my day around where, you know, if I got to get up early, like yesterday I had to get up 6:30 in the morning. So that was a planned day, I for the activity that I had. But if it wasn't for the fact that we had to set up for the affair, you know, early in the morning, then I would have been like any other day, sleep till I'm ready to get up, you know. I when we have seminars that we do, we know we have a seminar that we do like at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday or a Thursday, then we know we got to be up by at least by 8 o'clock in the morning to get ourselves together and organize and make sure we have all the things that we need to go do the seminar. But if the seminar is not to, like, sometimes we have 6 o'clock in the evening, on that day, and that's a major event that we got for that day. I know I don't have to be there until 6 o'clock in the evening. I might not get up till 11, 12 o'clock, you know. So, you know, the thing is, again, setting your own schedule, planning your time. And these are the kind of things that I hope some of this, you know, some things that some of you out there that's listening, you know, want to be able to enjoy and learn how to enjoy. You know, I like gardening. By having, you know, my own schedule, I can work in the garden when I want to work in the garden. If anybody knows anything about gardening, you know, when you first get your garden started, you're talking about some early hours, you know, when you're not out there in that hot sun, turning the ground, pulling weeds, and stuff like that. And, you know, but the thing is, again, the freedom to do what you want, playing tennis. Play tennis when you want to play tennis. And you hear me mention tennis a lot. It's my favorite sport. I still do like to watch gladiators play football and stuff. But, you know, I recognize why they have these sports is because they want to keep the average working person's mind occupied, preoccupied. That's why they have the seasons run right into one another. So that way you always got a team you're cheering for. From like baseball right now, we're into the postseason of baseball to see who's going to go to the World Series. And all people in my hometown, they're hurting right now because Baltimore done lost the first two games in Kansas City, and they're praying that they can come back some kind of way and still get four games out of this seven-game series so that they can make it to the big dance, the World Series. Baltimore hasn't been on a World Series in years. And so the town is all, you know, pumped up about that. And then when they lose, people get all depressed about that. You would think that they owned the team. You know, so, but, you know, still sports is fun to watch. Then, you know, as soon as the World Series is over, we'll be starting basketball, and everyone's going to want to see what LeBron James is going to be doing since he's back home in Cleveland now, and what, you know, what are the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to be able to do in the basketball season. So, you know, people all geared up around that. You know, we're in the football, and before you know it, it'll be time for the playoffs, and we'll see who's going to go to the Super Bowl. And then right after the Super Bowl, preseason for baseball starts, and then you get regular baseball season kicked and underway, and people want to see, you know, how their team start off and what they're going to do. Baseball has a very long season. But, you know, the sports are designed, and I left out ice hockey for those people that like to watch hockey. So you got these different sporting events running all year long so that, you know, you can stay entertained. See, poor people entertain themselves. Wealthy people educate themselves. Learning never stops. That's another key to becoming a business owner is that, you know, if you want to become a business owner, you have to learn how to continue to educate yourself. You know, learning never stops. I'm always learning. You know, people always ask a lot of times when they see all the books that me and my wife have. Remember one time a lady asked me, she said, "You read all them books?" I said, "Yeah." And she looked at me, she said, "Your head don't hurt?" Because, see, the average person in America reads less than one book a year. An alarming, frightening statistic. The average person in America reads less than one book a year. Where do they get the information from? Television. You know, they tell a bunch of lies on television. But that's what people get their information from. They ask them something. "I saw it on TV." "Yeah, okay. You saw an advertisement." People advertising, and they do is they direct and herd people to what they want to direct and herd them to. Remember my grandson came to visit? Like, you know, "Babu," that's Keith Swahili for granddad. "Babu, you don't have no television. We don't watch TV." You know, it first took us a while to make that adjustment. But, you know, I can go on the Internet and get news. But, you know, the thing is, you know, the propaganda, the commercials. I remember one time me and my wife were staying in a hotel. We got curious, you know, because we don't normally watch TV. And we cut the TV on. All of the shows, CIS, you know, all of these things about people killing people and everything else. And so what happens? It plants seeds in people's minds. And then you wonder why people do the crazy, evil, mean things that they do. They watch so much of it on television, they try to act it out themselves. So, you know, your freedom, again, You know, and I know people that say they get off of work and they come home, what they do, they flop on the couch, eat, watch television, get fat, go to sleep, wake up, go on back to work. No exercise program for their body and none for their mind. Give them a book. It's like Kryptonite, the Superman. You see a book and they get scared. Oh, no, a book. You want me to read something? Are you kidding? I ain't in school no more. I've been out of school for years. Life is continuous learning. School never stops. So, again, if you want to break the chains of slavery, you need to become a home-based business earner. Congress has established laws that allow home-based business earners to take advantage of special tax breaks that will enable you to have extra money that you can use for business development, family development, other things that you want to do. So, hey, make that change. Like Michael Jackson said, make the change. Are you ready? If you're ready to make the change, we're here to help you. Give us a call at 252-406-0774. Hey, this has been Baba Jahi, this Sunday morning, here on the Gospel of Working from Home Sunday morning show on Home-Based Business 101. We thank you for tuning in, and we will have a couple shows we'll be doing this week. And just check the webpage, blogtalkradio.com/homebasedbusiness101, and see what we're going to be doing. We're going to be cooking up something for you this week. And you know, we're back on these airways again next Sunday. I don't know what my topic's going to be next Sunday, but I'll be working on that. God will give me a message. So, hey, thank you for tuning in. Have a blessed day. Enjoy your service wherever you go, whatever faith you are, whatever house of worship you go to. And remember this little saying right here, that religion is the train, but spirituality is the destination. See, we all have different faith. There's nothing wrong with that. Your faith's like a hammer or a screwdriver. It's a tool, and it should lead you to God. So don't be looking at other people and say, well, you know, my hammer's better than your hammer. You know, as long as our path leads us to God consciousness, that is the most important thing. Not whether you're Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever. Some people will argue that, you know, if you're not of their faith, that you're going to go to hell. I would never tell nobody that. That's crazy. See, but that comes from watching television, because that's how they preach here in America. That if you ain't of this faith, you're going to hell. Some people in other parts of the world, because they've bought into this propaganda, tell you, well, if you're not, you know, you're not a Muslim, you're going to go to hell. If you're not a Christian, you're going to go to hell. We're all God's children, no matter what faith we are. And that our faith, our specific religion is the train. Like a train, you know, it moves us along the tracks. The destination is spirituality, to find that oneness, the oneness of God. Or as me and my wife said, you know, divine, you know, the divine presence that's in the universe. So, hey, till next time, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We love y'all.